Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world in our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones, because you truly don't love someone until you've spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah, holla back, little homie, amen. Mm-hmm. We give this podcast to you free every week on, I said that already, we are your hosts of this illustrious podcast. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture slash sports nerd, which means I could tell you what's going on in the world of TMZ and in the world of ESPN, which is that the Warriors did not beat the Cavaliers in 5 games, and now they'll have to play a 6th game.
It was a fantastic 5th inning.
You're no kin of mine. Sorry, Omar. And now, for the man who will give you the historical references that you need, Ali.
I'm not like an encyclopedia. That's not a reference this. No, I actually give you information.
You're my works cited page.
I am Ali A. Alomi. I'm the classic nerd of the group, the bald bard. I bring you the background information of all the topics that we discuss. V.
New friends is V. Tran, your comic book, movie, etc. nerd. I cover the things that Ali and Diz do not.
Guys, I really want to be like funny and my chipper, pep in my step self, but like I can't. It's been a fucking shit weekend.
Aren't you also a Warriors fan?
No.
Okay.
I'm a Wizards fan.
A what?
Wizards. DC. Hence the hat.
Is that what? That's their logo?
No, that's their old logo. It just says DC. It's a hat, a hand going for the ball. You know.
And that's
old,
the Wizards.
Yeah. The Washington DC. See how it says DC?
It's not particularly clear to me.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah, could be. It just says DC on there.
Could be any generic basketball game
although
going
does,
on in DC.
Shoes.
Yeah, although it does look like a cock and balls, doesn't it? Like jizzing. You guys see it? You see it? The balls.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you noticed it, obviously.
Someone else pointed it out first, but I went with it.
How do people not realize it when they're designing logos?
Like, I don't
how
know.
Do you miss that? You're like, oh, hold on. Hold on there. There needs to be like a cock and balls or like an inappropriate, like just department that looks at it and goes, that looks like a vagina. No, that looks like a dick. No, you're like, there has to be a department that does that.
Should there like in a clothing
just a
companies,
separate company that just deals
like the
with
genital
that.
Identification.
What is
like, it? Was a genital identification.
There's
wing.
A lot of slogans out there that you kind of go, how did that pass through?
Yeah.
Whoever is the supervisor.
Yeah. No, but I'm a Wizards fan. They're from DC. As well as I also like the Lakers because hometown now. But I'm not sad because the Warriors. I don't give a shit about the Warriors as much as Omar does. I'd rather see LeBron in pain, but that's just because I'm a sadistic human being. But it's been fucking shit week.
It's been a tough week.
Like it's weird. And it's like you don't know how to respond to that. Like, there was something that happened Friday night, you know, and then early Sunday morning.
This is the struggle of, and Jon Stewart felt this, and Trevor Noah felt this, right? Of how do you cover tragic events like this that force you to be somber when you are part of the kind of entertainment industry? So, like, we pride ourselves on being smart and good, but we're also entertainers. We may inform, but it's infotainment, right?
Yeah.
So it's or edutainment. It's about entertaining.
Like, I'm not very smart. I just say dumb things to make people laugh.
So how do you do that when you have these kind of tragic events? And the reality is that you just have to accept that sometimes it's okay to be somber. It's okay to feel the emotions. And so I think with that, that's the kind of intent of this podcast, right? So the what happened, one of the tragedies was a man walked into, this was in Orlando, Florida, walked into a gay
nightclub
called Pulse and opened fire with his assault rifles and killed 49 people and 53 were injured. And obviously that number may change.
Because people are still in the hospital.
Yeah, still in the hospital. And this was done over a period of time. And it's one of the largest... mass shootings in recent American history.
Mass killings, yeah.
And it's caught the headlines and everyone is reeling from it and everyone is still dealing with it. And, you know, I speak from everyone here at Currently Nerdy. We are really staunch allies of the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And so this event hit, you know, our own,
yep.
you know, people who listen to this podcast, people who we're friends with, and a community that we see is not separate from us, but part of our
yeah.
our wider nerd community and wider American culture.
They're not separate. They yeah, are us.
They are us.
They are part of the Imperium.
On behalf of Currently Nerdy, I know that we send our condolences, our prayers, and our heartfelt messages, and definitely we're mourning alongside. So how do you cover something like this? You just got to deal with it, right? It's okay. It's okay to feel. And I know that for me, I felt frustrated and angry and upset and really kind of shocked, right?
Yeah, it was just weird.
Shocked, but also not surprised. This is a country that has this problem.
Yeah, like
we dehumanize whole groups of people and then we valorize weapons of mass death. That's a fucking heady combination. That leads to certain results. You can't live in a culture that on one hand demonizes whole groups of people and then on the other hand goes, guns are amazing, killing things is good, right? Guess what? That leads to things. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, there was another incident, right, V?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the night before what happened at Pulse, actually also in Orlando.
This was Friday night, right?
Friday night, yeah. Singer, anyone familiar with The Voice, Christina Grimmie, also had gotten shot by a crazed shooter. She had just finished a concert, and there was about 120 people doing like a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
This guy came in. His name was Kevin James Loible. He's 27 years old. Basically, he came in there, had two handguns that were fully loaded, two fully loaded magazines, as well as a hunting knife, and he opened fire on her.
Mm-hmm.
She was rushed to the hospital. Her brother, Marcus, mm-hmm. had tackled him during the altercation, mm-hmm. and then he ended up killing himself.
Who was this person?
No one really knows.
Like a crazed fan. Just
They haven't really.
They don't have a motive.
They don't really know yet. When they went to the home of his parents, the parents said was a sign up front saying, you know, deepest sorrow for the loss of the family, friends, and fans. Very talented, loving Christina Grimmie. No other comments. And there's really no other. Nothing else right now. Yeah, like they don't.
A few hours before the shooting at Pulse,
A few hours after.
This was actually before.
Before Pulse.
Yeah.
The Santa Monica thing?
Your LA Pride?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I thought it was right after.
James Wesley Howell was arrested in LA, a man from Indiana, with a lot of weapons. He had explosives, he had assault rifles, a hoodie, a taser, rope.
A hoodie?
Yeah, black hoodie and a taser. And he was arrested because it was believed that he was a threat to gay pride and that he was, he said he wanted to hurt the gays or hurt gay pride.
Mm-hmm.
It's now unclear what's going on. His ex-boyfriend on one hand says it doesn't surprise him and that Howell was in the closet, not open about his sexuality. He's also recently been charged with sexually assaulting an underage girl.
Oh, wow.
That he had in his car.
Wait, she was in his car?
In Indiana.
Oh,
okay. And it's not clear that, I mean, it's not. No one knows whether he was really planning an attack, but
From
all the kind of circumstantial evidence, it's pretty clear that there was a danger and he's been arrested and luckily nothing happened. But, you know, gay pride in LA really, it changed the tone. You could see a militarized police force out there.
Mm.
And that definitely set the tone for what's going on in this country.
Yeah, it is Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. And what's meant to be celebrations of love and diversity has turned into these kind of horrible events. Now, this situation, the Pulse situation is somewhat complicated. At first, you know, there was a focus on the fact that he called in and said that he was doing this on behalf of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And then now it's been kind of revealed that he was on Grindr and was a regular at the nightclub himself. So maybe he was dealing with some type of issues with his own sexuality. And it's not, you know, no one's quite sure what's going on in that case. It's also complicated by the fact that he was an Afghan-American. And so there are small Afghan-American community in the United States is reeling and responding to this as well.
Yeah, like because you and I are both members of the Afghan-American community.
And if there's been some fantastic outpouring of support and solidarity. The Summer War Network, which Diz and I are part of and partook in a really great dialogue and discussion just yesterday or the day before on this very situation with other members of the Summer War Network. If you don't follow them, you're missing out, doofuses. Definitely check them out.
Yeah.
You can find them on Facebook on the Summer War Network and that Samovar, so it's a V, not a W.
Yeah.
Or on YouTube. And then along with TSN, along with the Afghan American Conference, released a press release about this with statements of solidarity. And it was really beautiful. And I know a lot of Afghans who are attending vigils and solidarity events, who are donating money. Over $50,000 have been raised by Muslims standing in unity with Orlando, which is a GoFundMe campaign. Or I believe it's a launch good, actually. I'm not sure. It's one of
those. They have a few.
But it's over $50,000 has been raised. And others are holding other events like iftars, because it is Ramadan, for the LGBTQ community, recognizing that it's not a separate community, that it's our community, that we're all part of one singular community, that we Afghans that are LGBTQ and Americans, right? And that these communities blend together and exist at the same time. And, you know, seeing that kind of outpouring is great and it's fantastic, but it also highlights the kind of ongoing struggles that the LGBTQ community has here in the United States. Part of the works of solidarity is donating blood.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? So like
Afghans, Muslims, and Americans in general have been donating blood in large quantities.
Yeah, 5-hour lines in Orlando.
5-hour lines. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are people, some of the Muslims are fasting, so they can't eat or drink, but they're donating blood. And that's great. And why is it such a big deal? A lot of people aren't aware of this, but of the discriminatory blood practices in the United States.
Yeah, it makes no damn sense.
Like, so you can't even donate if you're homosexual,
you can't.
If you're gay, you can't donate. There's all sorts of there are more regulations about gay people having access or trying to donate blood than there is a crazy person who's on the FBI watch list getting
twice.
A gun.
He's on the FBI watch list twice.
Yeah.
Tell me how that makes sense. That there's more regulations in the former than there is the latter. It tells us where our priorities are.
But here's the thing, though.
You can get a gun, but if you're a gay man, you sure as hell can't donate.
You know? Right? Let's look at it like this, man. Like, you had... You know, Anderson Cooper interview the Florida, Attorney General, right? Was that who she was?
Yep.
And he said to her this. He said, listen, I've been speaking to a lot of people in the LGBT community, and you're trying to come out as a champion for the LGBTQ community, but you yourself have tried to do everything in your effort to make things like same-sex marriage go away in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
You haven't done anything for gay rights and lesbian rights and trans rights and queer rights, but now you're coming out as this champion for them.
In fact, they've been trying to restrict their rights.
Yeah. Gone on record and said that same-sex marriage is hurting the state of Florida. It hurts the Constitution of the state of Florida. Yeah.
Didn't one of your friends mention Rick Stegall
about this? So one of my good friends, Trey, is a Floridian.
Whatever the hell Floridian means.
He's from Florida. He was born in Tampa.
Floridian sounds like a disorder,
right?
Yeah.
Which in this case, it may not be too far.
No, not too far off of the state of Florida. But Trey is from Tampa, and Trey posted an amazing status that I shared. It said, "Dear Rick Scott, you have done everything in your power to outlaw same-sex marriage in the state of Florida in the past year. Mm. You have also passed 5 new gun laws that help people get guns in the state of Florida. And you go on air and you talk about this senseless shooting in Orlando and you fail to mention once the LGBTQ community. Yeah. Mm. You are the worst human being on the planet right now.
Well, this is kind of the frustration. I mean, it's that the focus has been shifted away from the victims and the community that's reeling. And it's a particular even sub-community within the LGBTQ community.
Right, it's the Latinx.
The Latinx. It's a people of color, right, who in particular are even more vulnerable.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So black men and women who are gay, lesbian, transgender, or intersex, Latin Americans, right, or brown people, all these people are very vulnerable.
Correct.
Right? And it was that community in particular that was targeted. You have an erasure of people of color. You have an erasure of the LGBTQ community. When you see people like Governor Scott or you see Governor or Senator Ted Cruz, these various people tweet out their prayers. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there going, listen, you're part of the problem. You've been spending the past several months and years completely dehumanizing people, whether that means denying them bathrooms, right?
Yeah.
Trying to regulate bathrooms, by which I say you're equating transgender people with perverts.
Yeah. As or if sexual predators.
Protect, we need to protect our little girls from transgender men that are coming into the bathrooms. Listen, fucker.
Yeah.
There's more of a chance that the shooter is white than it is transgender. Transgender people are the victims more often than not of white violence, right? So, but somehow, even in this moment where there's a clear instant of violence against these people, they do a further violence onto it. And that is a symbolic and political violence. You know, because the victims don't matter. Their names don't matter. They're a faceless, empty kind of vacuum, an empty container by which they can pour in their political agenda. And that's what they do. That's when I see people like that. And instantly became what? It became about radical Islam. It became about everything else other than the dehumanization of an entire community.
Because Cooper called her out even further and was like, I've been looking at your Twitter for the past year. He's like, I've seen you post stuff about National Dog Month and adopt a dog today. He's like, it's Gay Pride Month. Have you posted anything on your Twitter?
She said, well, I put up colored hands.
Yeah, I put up colored praying hands today or yesterday after the shooting. So you did it in reaction to the shooting. Yeah. Well, but yes, I felt obligated to.
These are people who are willing to go on TV, who are willing to monopolize and definitely exploit the tragedy. But these are people who at the same time will refuse to give that community the rights that they deserve. When you tell people that they don't have the right to marry the person they love, when you tell them that they don't have the rights to use bathrooms based off of the identity that they identify with because you feel fucking insecure,
right?
When you do all these things, you are dehumanizing and criminalizing an entire group of people while simultaneously saying the holiest thing in this world is guns, a machine of death. Guess what? You are part of that problem. You are contributing to the problem. And that's the issue, is that this conversation is not about the real constant here, homophobia. Because at the end of the day, the motives aren't clear.
No. Right?
So on one hand, you have... he called in to 911 and he said, I'm doing this for ISIS and whatnot, right? So is this a form of homegrown terrorism? Sure, probably.
Possibly.
But it's also a case of a hate crime because the two are not separate from each other.
Yeah, I don't
so everyone think focuses. The and then there's also people are talking about now it's come out that he was on Grindr and he was a frequent member of Pulse as it was, and that he may have had some type of conflict with his sexuality. But guess what? None of that motives are always going to remain unclear. And it's not clear if this is internalized hate or it's sexual repression or it's religious, you know, or it's some form of political violence vis-a-vis terrorism. What is clear is that it's a case of homophobia taken to its extreme logical end.
I think that's the thing, is like people think that it can't just be it has to just be one or the other. It can't be both, right? Mm. But it can. It could be an act of terror and also an act of homophobia. I don't think people realize that. They're like, no. It's because they're American and they want to be free. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like our freedoms. But, you know, like the kid's dad, I shouldn't say kid, he's older than me. The guy's dad like was like, no, this my son wasn't very religious. It has nothing to do with religion. My son was enraged because he saw two gay men kissing in Miami. Yeah, but a few that's months
the
before. Thing.
It doesn't. None of that really matters at the right? end of the day. What really matters is that we live in a culture and society, right, that is homophobic.
Correct.
We just decriminalized same-sex marriage less than about roughly a year ago.
Decriminalized or?
Decriminalized it. We made it legal. Right?
So it's considered criminal before?
Yeah, well, technically it's against the law. You can't actually get married. Okay. Right? That we legalize same-sex marriage, right? This is something that almost every other developed nation has already done.
Right?
Right. Guess what else every other developed nation has done?
Restricted guns?
Restricted
guns. To some point. They haven't banned guns.
No.
Everywhere.
So I have a professor, a good colleague of mine, who's from Australia, and we were talking about this, not this particular issue, but we were talking about guns. He's like, you know what? We had
1996.
Yeah, 1996. We had a mass shooting. We went, yeah, never again. How many mass shootings have we had since then?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
So,
right? Guess what? It works. Did you know that if you combined all the mass shootings of Germany and England for the past 10 years?
We still trump them?
We still trump them in 1 year.
Yeah.
10 years of theirs combined.
Wow.
Is more than, but is less, I mean, like, imagine that. 1 year of ours trumps that.
Listen here.
That's insane.
Listen here, you Muslim, all right? The Oklahoma City bombing was done by a man who made explosives with fertilizer. Should we ban fertilizer as well?
Look, it's not about banning. It's about really logical restrictions. You register your
frickin' car. But let me tell you what logically is going to happen, you goddamn Muslim. If you take away my guns, that Muslim Kenyan socialist Obama, he's going to bring his secret army of Muslims to come into my house. And if I don't have my assault rifles, who's going to protect my family?
The whole idea of the Second Amendment is actually very much related to what you just said.
Right.
Right. But people don't understand is the Second Amendment is racialized.
Yep. God, that accent. Yeah. I swear to God.
It is. It's openly racialized. It's about the right to bear arms against people of color.
Tyranny.
That's what it's about. It was very clearly about, you saw it in the South, this fear of the slave uprising. If you watched the remake of Roots, by the way, which if you didn't, you're a loser, but you should have. If you watched the remake of Roots, you saw it very clearly.
It's on Hulu.
That, for example, the Nat Turner Rebellion, right, was we have our guns to protect ourselves from people like Nat Turner, right? And they went around massacring black men and women. Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what the right to bear arms was. And guess what? When did the right to bear arms become really big again?
1960s.
It became during the civil rights movement.
When has
there
been more?
The idea being that it was dangerous, that you need to have guns in order to protect yourself from those uppity coloreds.
I will one up you here, Ali. And when was there more guns purchased? In the most guns purchased in the history of the United States.
The Obama administration.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was getting there.
Well, I did it first.
You preempted me. Then the second kind of phase of that, right? So you have three phases. The first phase, antebellum South, right? The South.
Yeah.
Then you have civil rights. The third phase is the Obama administration. So not only were more guns purchased under the Obama administration, but it's also become the single most contested issue. Guess what? Assault rifles were banned in the 1990s under Clinton. It didn't cause that
but
huge of a
controversy. Didn't Reagan help?
Reagan did help. He brought the Republicans on board on that because it was logical. And most Republicans actually supported it.
Yeah.
It was not a huge controversy.
Nope.
It wasn't. The idea was like, look, we have all these other guns. We're cool, right?
Right.
Obama hasn't even proposed that yet. Obama is just asking for things like universal background checks. Yeah. Registering, like, very simple, kind of straightforward things. And the idea is, like, he's out to get your gun. So you can see that the Second Amendment is always racialized. But I don't want to make this so abstract and just about guns, because it isn't just about guns. That racialization and this kind of white militancy, something that Reza from TSN has called toxic masculinity. And this is something that a lot of commentators have mentioned. I have mentioned here on the podcast quite a bit, jokingly referring it to it as micro dick syndrome.
Yes. Right? I was going to type that in the group chat.
Yeah, micro dick syndrome. That's something that I call micro, and it's toxic masculinity, a masculinity that feeds off of insecurity on othering other people oppressing other people, and violently so, that needs to express itself in some form of violence, right? It's very important to America. That intersects with the gun regulations and gun laws.
Correct.
But none of that is mobilized without homophobia, without the hate in this case. In both cases, both in the Howell case as well as in the Omar Mateen case, or in the case of Pulse at Orlando, the one constant is homophobia. And it's the one thing that we're unwilling to discuss, right? We're unwilling to discuss the gun issue at all. Like, don't even dare bring it up. But we're pretending that there isn't an issue with homophobia. People preemptively, that's even worse because you're silencing it.
People preemptively were attacking people talking about the gun issue. Now, you know, the media's going to talk about getting rid of our guns. Yeah. Maybe the gun people paid this guy to kill people so that the government could try to take our guns.
Oh, yeah, I saw that argument. I was dumber for seeing it, to be honest with you. If you think, look, I am all for not trusting the government.
Yeah.
Right?
Who can at this day and age?
Don't trust the government. Totally down with that. But if you're so stupid to believe that they convinced Omar to take guns and kill people, right?
Yeah.
They're certainly capable. I'm sure they're capable of it. But you realize how freaking stupid that would be? Do you realize how many people would have to agree with that? That someone along the line has not revealed that? Like, it's just, here's the thing. We're not actually that good at keeping secrets.
No, we're not.
Most of our
Edward Snowden proved it.
Most of our CIA shit has been leaked.
Yeah.
Go to WikiLeaks. We know it all. We know what these people are doing. Seriously. We know who we've tapped foreign administrations, governments. We've done all sorts of things. We know it. I'm not saying the government isn't capable of it. I'm not saying it. But the fact that you're willing to go that far to protect guns means that you value your guns over the 50 people that were killed. Simple message in that is that you value your guns over the human beings. That's what that conspiracy theory thinks.
Right?
That's what it thinks. It's saying that you're so concerned about your guns that you're willing to come up with convoluted logic to justify the violence rather than to accept that people were killed. That your guns trump the lives of your fellow citizens.
You know why you say that, Ali?
People like that are disgusting.
No, bro. It's because you're a sheep, bro. Open your eyes, sheeple.
You can be critical.
Conspiracy,
you can be critical of the government without dehumanizing people.
It's the Illuminati, bro.
Right. And the fact that your guns mean that much to you, I mean, seriously, you've got some type of problem.
That's what I think is interesting, too. Like, how many times... Seriously. It's like, let's say you do have guns in the in your closet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I often ask, how many times have you taken that gun out and done anything other than just went and shooting in the desert?
Or in the...
Hitting cans.
Or in the shooting range.
You know, or shooting at a piece of paper with some brown guy with a beard on him.
Hi.
Right?
Really? What? I'm a brown guy with a beard?
Just shameless.
This is what annoys me about that, though. Is the idea that these people seem like... They feel like... It feels like they're basically going, I don't want you to take away my toys, so I'm going to go ahead and completely minimize this tragedy and then automatically oh, crap, something happened. They're going to take away the stuff that I enjoy playing with.
Here's the thing. So last week, I had a conversation. I'm in a family group chat with my cousins that I went and visited in New York and all that. So there's
no one cares.
It's anecdote. Yeah.
Keep your
jackass.
Keep your family to yourself.
So, there's about 50 of us in that group chat, and someone brought up guns. Right? I think it was my brother who brought up guns.
I have a really important question before you go any further.
Yes.
What's the difference between a malt and a milkshake?
A malt has a malt powder in it.
Oh, that's
kind of
gives
that kind of that frothiness.
It's been bothering me for a few hours. Go on,
Ramadan thoughts, folks.
He's looking up food to eat.
Yeah. So my brother owns guns, right? My brother owns a couple handguns.
Your brother does?
Yeah.
Which brother?
My middle brother.
What the hell?
Virginia. Yeah.
It's the last person on earth who should own guns.
That's what I say. But
Who the fuck gave him guns?
I don't know. The state of Virginia.
Where did he get them from?
He's licensed.
I'm calling the FBI.
He's licensed.
Well, that doesn't help either.
That doesn't help either.
Chances are he's...
Yeah. My brother has guns, and I was like, look, he's like, I have two handguns, and
does he do?
He says he needs it to protect himself in case anything happens. When we were younger,
I have a secret theory that his middle brother is in the mafia or some shit.
No.
So he's running a massive crime syndicate in Virginia.
No.
Not based on what I've seen from that family.
No.
He's too lazy. His family doesn't aspire to much.
Listen.
So, can't even do crime right.
No.
Here's petty theft.
Stealing candy bars.
When we were younger.
Ice cream truck hates him.
No. When we were younger, we had someone break into our house.
Yeah, I remember that.
So ever since then, my brother's
always had. You also had that police raid into your house.
That's true. The opposite reason. The different reasons.
Yeah, but I hope you didn't have guns then.
No.
Shit, yeah.
No. But, you know,
got up to all sorts of trouble.
That wasn't any of our faults.
Yeah, but you were part of a climate of issues.
No, stop. That wasn't any of our faults. Anyways, ever since our house got broken into when we were younger, my brother's always had this fear that someone's going to break into his house and try to, like, murder him or something. So he bought guns to protect himself, right?
Because he said, really is the last person to be owning guns.
I know. Listen. So we got into this debate, and I said, look. I was like, I understand if you want to protect yourself and you have this handgun. I was like, but you know you're more likely to accidentally shoot yourself with that gun than you are to shoot someone that's going to break into your house.
Exactly.
Right? He's like, no, but I'm a safe gun owner. I'm a smart gun owner. I keep my guns locked in a gun safe. I'm like, well, that's great. I'm like, I know you're also a deep sleeper. So if someone breaks into your house, knocks down your door, that's when you'll wake up. You won't wake up by them breaking down the front door. They have to break down your bedroom door. And then what do you do? Tell them to stop? And
there's also this your gun? Ongoing myth of competence too, right?
Yeah.
Like in the moment. When you're about to die, you have this moment, like film moment, where you're like, whoa,
yeah,
pull out your gun.
Some John Woo does
one-handedly, fly out of there, yeah. Right? Without even aiming, hit him in the head. Chances are you shot the family cat.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's be real.
That's right. You probably didn't even. You shot at the family cat. You didn't hit the fucking thing.
Let's be real. Your hands are shaking. Your palms are sweating. Mom's spaghetti, right? Like, the whole shebang, right? The whole shebang. You're not that competent.
No.
You're not in that moment. No matter how many times you've shot at a paper target off into the distance, right? I've put in a million hours, right? It doesn't matter. You're not a trained officer. Even officers get nervous. You're not trained military. Even military gets nervous. You're just a douchebag with a gun. You shot the family cat. That's it.
In his case, Sosa, his American bully.
There you go.
Right? But
his what?
American bully. It's a breed of dog.
Oh.
I'll show you a picture. It's a cute dog. Okay. But anyways. Like
poor dog.
It's like American bully.
Yeah. It's a cute dog. It's like a pit bull bulldog. That's literally about to say that. But like I mentioned that. And like, I told him, I was like, look, you know that, okay, prior to Sunday, if we could confirm that it was ISIS, but prior to Sunday, more Americans have been killed in the past year by toddlers accidentally firing their parents' weapons than had been killed by ISIS.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the irony, remember that a couple months ago where that pro-gun mom in the car?
Sure, kid shot her.
Yeah. But she's like, she just posted a thing on Facebook about, I'm going to go shooting and practice my freedom, teach my kids how to shoot. She gets shot because she left a gun.
But let's be real.
Yeah.
The government got to that kid first.
Of course.
Convinced the toddler, gave him training. This is how you shoot your mom in the back of the head.
But there's also a converse there.
And then this is how you get away with
it. Let me give you the other.
By pretending to be a toddler.
Okay, so there, I've seen two conspiracy theories. The first.
42-year-old man.
It's Damon Wayans.
Yeah, yeah. Damon Wayans.
Didn't he do the movie Small Guy?
No, that was
Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans. Okay.
Little Man.
Little Man. That's what he did.
But anyway, here's another conspiracy theory. So the first was that the anti-gun lobbyists paid this guy to kill people so the government could take our guns.
Naturally.
The second I've heard, there's probably more, but this one's been gaining some steam lately, is that the Republicans paid this man to go and shoot people to build their narrative that Muslims are bad so people will vote for Trump.
Yeah, you hear this amongst people too who refuse to accept that. Guess what? There are crazy people amongst Muslims, and there's crazy people amongst Afghans, and there's crazy people amongst Americans. Guess what? Assholes exist.
No, bro. There's witnesses that said there was more shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
No, bro. Remember in San Bernardino, here's bro. Here's
the thing, though. That's, again, it goes right back to what I was saying. When you make up a conspiracy theory, what you're saying is that you're willing to do all sorts of mental gymnastics in order so that you feel better, even though people have just been killed.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry about a sheep, bro. How about you not do that
and you just recognize it's not about it being a sheeple. It's about being fucking human,
right?
Yeah.
It's about being fucking a decent human being. Cheapen
people's lives.
50 people were killed, right? Stop co-opting it into your fucking political narrative. Yeah. Stop trying to justify it, whether it was the government or the Republicans or the gun lobby or the anti-gun lobby. Stop doing any of that. And how about you figure out what ways you can approach it so it doesn't happen again, and you reach out to the people that are suffering.
Yeah.
It's even worse than these fucking tinfoil hat people. I mean, every time they create a conspiracy, they're really using the death of these people to make themselves more special in their own minds.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's completely masturbatory. Mm-hmm. They literally cheapen these people's deaths to make them feel special. You know, it's a fucking joke.
And that's sad because there's families grieving over these deaths. Yeah. Like this wasn't. Like, this isn't fake. This isn't Hollywood. This isn't like, you know, there's no repercussions. People are mourning, you know, like people have lost their brothers, their sisters, their spouses, their partners, like their children. Like, that's nothing to turn into a conspiracy. I'm sorry. If you're too delusional in your fucking head that you have to think something is up and not look at it and be like, hey, 50 people died here. 53 more were injured. Like, what can we do to help those victims? What can we do to help that no one else becomes a victim of senseless, like, selfish hate?
Yeah, but let's face it, though, man. You know, a school full of dead children didn't move anyone to change anything. What do you?
There's actually a really powerful article that just came out, an opinion piece by a parent from Sandy Hook, and the parent is, I'm sorry that our tragedy didn't stop yours from happening. It's powerful shit.
Man. Yeah. It's
but the real question now is, how do we address, look, we've done guns over and over again. Mm-hmm. We've gotten passionate about it. But how do you address homophobia? How do you deal with that in this country? It's ongoing, it's prevalent, and it's manifesting in really kind of subtle ways, right? From the way the LGBTQ community is represented in media, right? There's almost, could you name one serious LGBTQ character that's not comedic relief or a stereotype?
No. I'm trying to think. I can't.
What's considered a positive.
Albus Dumbledore.
But he's not LGBT. He's not out.
Yeah, that's the only one. And he's not even out.
Think Modern Family, right?
Yeah.
Modern Family is considered a positive, but it's literally a stereotype. And it's played by a straight guy.
Yeah. Well, Eric Stone Street. Eric Stone Street is straight.
Although, not really. In Rent, the play.
Yeah.
And in the movie. I mean, Rent had
that's just Tom one Collins. Example of it, right? Like, how about this? Can you name one positive transgender character?
Maybe in Orange is the New Black.
Okay. Anything else? He's in jail, though, right?
Yeah, okay. She's in jail.
Although in The Flash, the police captain's gay.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Captain Singh is gay.
Okay. How about, can you name anyone that doesn't fit into the traditional categories? What about someone who's intersex? Gender queer?
I don't know. I'm thinking.
Okay, so that's just an example, media representation, right? Can you think, when it comes to the bathroom laws, right? Can you think of any laws that have outright stood up and really made life equal for the LGBTQ community? So we legalized marriage, right? Uh-huh. Everyone remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? Do you know that they can't benefit, they don't have the same tax rights?
In the U.S.?
United States, the tax credits are still off. They're still off. The IRS has not caught up to.
But I thought that was the point of that.
Nope. You can legally be married, but the tax laws are still.
Also, there was also that weekend, like last weekend, they also passed, what was it, like Louisiana?
Yep.
Where it was all like the bill actually passed where it's like they're allowed to refuse, like businesses are allowed to refuse like doing services if you don't religiously agree with what the services are for.
But Hobby Lobby was the reason for that, that they made precedence for it.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because I was reading the governor's I want to say it was Louisiana, but the governor basically said it's not his justification. It's not prevent. It's like if you go in there to go and like buy a cake, they can't tell you that you can't buy one. But if you go in there saying I want you to make a cake for a gay wedding, they can refuse you based on religious grounds.
Okay.
Right?
It's a privatized business.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Hobby Lobby gave them precedence for that last year when they said that they don't have to give the same health benefits to women because they don't believe in it.
No, because it was the birth control thing.
Yeah, but it's health benefits
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, it boils down to health benefits because of their religious stance.
Can you name an instance where the LGBTQ community was positively represented by our politicians? Recent times. Besides kind of generic statements of like, we stand, an example of this is Hillary Clinton, right? Uh-huh. And I'm voting for her, right? But let's be real here, right? Up until 2004, what was her stance?
Anti-gay marriage.
Yeah, no. And she stood up in 2004 in the Senate and said, marriage is a sacred bond between a man and a woman. Marriage is a bond, not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman. Now, that's 2004. That's ancient history.
Yeah, right? 12 years ago.
Right? She stood up against it. Can you name recently any politician right now that has stood up and made a positive legislation for the LGBTQ community?
No, not. I really can't. I'm trying to think. I can't.
But what is the most recent controversy when it comes to the LGBTQ community? The bathrooms.
And I can name a lot of politicians that were against that.
How many politicians have openly stated that Obama's attempt at desegregating bathrooms, right, or making them gender inclusive, is an act of tyranny? Texas is a prime example.
Just about every state in the South.
So,
and North Carolina.
That's the issue. That's the problem. That we have an entire culture, an entire society, in which a group of our people are still considered not equal. Not the same. We're not all the same. We're different, but not equal.
It's like Jim Crow all over
again. The shooting that happened, horrible and horrific as it is not illogical to the climate that we live in.
No.
It's fucked up. It's wrong, but it's not illogical. Whatever his reasons were, whether he was dealing with internalized hate or sexuality, or he was a radical who was a supporter of ISIS, the one constant was that he lived in a society where two men kissing inflamed him.
Remember last year when same-sex marriage got legalized in the United States, right? The SCOTUS made the decision to make it legal. So remember, I posted a status saying, like, I don't understand how, you know, like, you say it's against your religion, but you're okay with other things being against your religion being legal, but gay marriage isn't. Mm-hmm. One of the responses I got from a guy I'm not going to name because he's not worth me naming, said he messaged me privately and was like, look, I could explain, you know, like, why you shouldn't drink to my son, or I could explain why you shouldn't gamble or why you shouldn't do this to my son. Mm-hmm. But I can't explain, you know, if he sees two guys kissing and how that's okay. And I was like, look,
that's your problem.
That's what I said. I said, it's not up to the rest of the world to parent your child. If you like, which I don't agree with, if you are anti same-sex marriage or anti, like, you don't agree with homosexuality, that's on you, right? You're a shitty human being for it, but that's on you. It's not up to us to fucking catch up to your shitty ways. You need to catch up to us being progressive. And the fact that, you know, they're saying one of the reasons that he may have done this was because his son witnessed two people kissing. Mm-hmm. You're just a shitty parent, bro.
Yeah.
That's on you.
But what type of world do we live in where two people kissing can inflame that type of rage and hatred, right? And that's what we're not willing. That's what we need to address. That's what we need to go down to and go, look, this is a problem that we have a community of people that are being targeted, that are being dehumanized, that have had legal restrictions, that have had social restrictions, that have been devalued culturally.
Yeah.
Right? That all these things matter. These things don't happen in a vacuum. These things aren't separate. That we need to stand with the LGBT community and recognize that it's not a separate community that's asking for special rights, but it's our own community, our people, our brothers, our sisters, our family members, our friends, our allies that are asking to be treated like us.
Yeah, like it's all equals. They don't want more.
Right. And there's a fascinating history here, too. The fact that this violence happened at Pulse is also very important. So what are gay clubs? People often view gay clubs and they see them as places of partying and places of celebration.
That's not it.
But gay clubs are safe spaces. And this goes back to, if you're interested, there's a fascinating book by a man named Chaucer who wrote a book called Gay New York. And he talks about this as how when you're living in a society that decriminalizes your identity, that criminalizes your sexual desire, how men and women will find ways of being able to express that, how they will transform public spaces and various spaces into safe zones. And it started off with things like the YMCA, right? So people often joke about the YMCA, but the YMCA became a place by which you could meet and connect because it was a public space. You could use the publicness of it to cover the clandestine or concealed aspects. Restaurants would kind of partition off a section of themselves, and you could meet with your friends and families in the back, mm-hmm. right? If you were a gay man or woman. And how these clubs developed out of that, the desire, the need to have a safe space where you can be yourself.
Right.
Because if you were to kiss in public, it inflames some douchebag. So there is a history, a long history here of why gay clubs and why they're targeted, right? And they have throughout history. They've been targeted by the police. They've been targeted by the state. They've been targeted by homophobes and anti-gay activists. And so this becomes part of a long trajectory, right? An ongoing struggle, a historical struggle that sometimes gets forgotten and erased in the kind of conversation that happens. On one hand, you have people who are so quick to try to play the game of politics, of scoring political points, of bringing this into whatever their political narrative is, whether that's their push for some type of even bigger security state, right? Vis-a-vis the Islamic radicalist threat, right? So the Ted Cruz's and the Donald Trump's of the world. I mean, Donald Trump's disgusting remark of, "Thank you for the congratulations," but you know, I'm like, really?
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, what a douchebag. Every other person was like, "I'm so sorry to hear this," and this guy was congratulating him. He did a humble brag. He literally did a humble brag, right? Or whether this is your conversation about gun rights or gun control, you can draw this into any kind of political discourse that you'd like. The one thing that we really need to be asking about is about the community itself, right? This targeted LGBTQ members, and specifically people of color within that community. So it's even a smaller community, especially the Latinx community in the LGBT community. And they are a particularly vulnerable group, people of color, transgender, gay people, intersex people who are black, who are Latino, who are brown. These people are even more vulnerable, and they are vulnerable to being erased in particular.
Correct.
You know, one of the examples is Stonewall. People always talk about kind of Stonewall. It's been co-opted in the kind of the gay man narrative, which is generally white gay men. But mm-hmm. if you forget that it was generally transgender women of color that were the stalwart and key leaders in Stonewall and the gay rights movement. That mm-hmm. gets erased. The recent movie that came out, Stonewall, they created a composite white character of a mix of kind of white figures and completely erased. So like, we need to be very clear to recognize that, yeah, this is a tragedy for all of us, but it targeted a specific community.
Yeah.
And Owen Jones, who's a activist and political commentator in England, actually talked about this, right? People were like, oh, well, humans, this is a human tragedy. This is a human tragedy. This is a human thing. And he's like, no, this was the LGBTQ community.
This is the All Lives Matter bullshit.
It came down to the All Lives Matter bullshit. So it's easy to fall into these kind of political talking points. But let's spend a couple of the last few minutes just talking about ways that you can be in solidarity with this group, right? And how we can recognize that this is our group, that this is part of our communities, that we recognize that, yes, they're part of us, but it's also a community that's being targeted specifically, right? So that we don't erase it. So this doesn't become part of a wider conversation about terrorism, a wider conversation. We can have all those. It's great to have them. Let's talk about radical Islam. Let's talk about the bullshit GOP discourse. Let's talk about the dehumanization of Muslims. Let's talk about the dehumanization of let's talk about the valorization of guns and gun control. We could talk about all of that while simultaneously being conscious that at the center of this particular instance is a specific community that was targeted.
Correct.
Right. So don't erase that. So what are some ways that you can show your solidarity? Simple ways.
Go to Pride events.
Yeah, go to Pride events. Show up to a Pride event. I mean, have either of you been to a Pride event?
I have not yet.
I've been to a campus kind of Pride events. I've never been to the wider, bigger parades because it's too loud for me.
I was accidentally part of a Pride event in Ireland once.
Were you on a float?
No.
Did you march or you just?
I did. I was walking around and it was like it was happened to be a march, and it turns out all the women that I was surrounded by were all men.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, cool. I was on my way to the.
You were on your way to a sandwich shop, weren't you?
No.
Yeah. It's like only V story. He's on his way to a sandwich shop, and he ended up at a Pride event.
Eventually I would end up at a sandwich shop, but I mean, like.
As all your stories.
I was going from the Guinness, from like the Guinness
factory?
Brewery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were like kind of walking around, and we were heading to the Jameson Distillery in Dublin.
Ooh.
And just so happens that a Pride event was going on. And we kind of walked around and ended up walking into this thing that was going on. It was really cool. And then we ended up at Jameson.
Yeah.
And then I ended up at the sandwich shop.
Yeah.
As you should have.
Have you ever been at a Pride parade?
I have never been at a Pride event before.
I don't go to too many parades because they're too loud. And I don't care whether they're straight or gay. I can't do the noise. I'm not a noise person, but I've been to
It's like anti-noise, huh?
Anti-noise. I'm an old man.
I mean, like.
I'm an 80-year-old man stuck in a 50-year-old man's body.
I have to be honest. I need to do more, right?
Yeah.
As an ally,
but it's a good recognition.
Yeah, I reached out, right? You actually texted me, and you're like, "Hey, we should set something up.
Mm-hmm.
Do it." So I reached out to the LGBT Center of Orange County to try to set up a community dinner with them, and like I think that would be a great way for me to find other things I could do to support them.
Yeah,
because. I'm pretty ignorant on what I could do to support them. Yeah, attending Pride events, freaking standing up for them when I have the chance to. You know, like I've done all that stuff. Talk is cheap. I always say talk is cheap. But I haven't done anything more than just talk and make done things that raise awareness. I haven't gone out and picketed. I haven't gone out and gone to a Pride event. Yeah,
it comes down to with the question of what does it mean to be an ally.
Right, like,
and don't get me wrong. Raising awareness and having discussions and having the conversation in of itself is important, and that in of itself is a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Just the liking, just the sharing of the status, just the posting of a status, all that is very good. That is, it's essential, it's important, and I'm not devaluing that.
No, but I need to.
But
do
that's
more.
A first step.
Yeah.
What comes after that, right? So, like, one of the things that I fully recommend is attending one of those solidarity events, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for people who are in SoCal, check out UCI's event that'll be on Wednesday at the Cross Cultural Center.
What time?
I believe it's at 2:00. There's another one at UCLA being held.
That's being held today, man.
Yeah, by the time you hear it, it's already over.
Yeah.
But there's other events. There's one in Temecula, in case we have any Temecula listeners, right?
Mm-hmm. Inland Empire.
Yeah, I think it's the Dove Bridge, the Dove Pond, or Dove Lake, or some shit like that.
Temecula's very conservative.
By very the way. Conservative. But if you look up these events, they're on Facebook. Ask your local community, the LGBTQ centers, right? And if you're a student, as a lot of our listeners are, guess what? You have resources right on campus.
Yeah.
The LGBTQ Alliance, you have LGBTQ clubs, you have the cross-cultural centers, you have most universities now have a provost of diversity, right? So like ours is Doug Haynes. That's a person to be talking to, right? Various events like that, attending them, really great. Show that you care. Show that you're there, that you're part of the community. Donating blood.
Yeah.
Right. We mentioned that before, the discriminatory practices. And again, right, in a situation like this where you have an even a minority group within a minority group, that is people of color, the Latinx community, within the minority group of the LGBTQ community, this is something that they desperately need, right? Like, so donating blood, right? There are 53 people that were injured that require all sorts of medical attention and may require blood donations and whatnot. So you can be quite literally a lifesaver, but donating blood is another great way of doing it. And also inviting the community to your events, right? They don't have to be separate communities.
No.
Start to bring the communities together. Muslims, our dear friend Noura mentioned, community iftars in which they reached out to the LGBT community, something that I recommended to you and I think would be a great idea, right?
Yeah.
Where you can bring two communities together to talk, to chat, to have fun, to laugh, to mourn together, and to recognize that these communities can stand side by side. And there's all sorts of other things you can do, just holding one another accountable, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let your friends use homophobic slurs.
Yeah, and that's the big thing.
Or when you see homophobia, call it out.
Yeah, call it out. Stand up.
Yeah.
Say something.
And then don't just do it to your friends. Hold your politicians accountable. If your politician is saying stupid ass shit, tweet his ass.
Yeah.
Right? Or her ass.
Or freaking call their fucking
office. Call their office. Go with a bunch of friends and show up to their offices. Look, we're not going to vote for you. Yeah. Guess what? They actually will listen to that shit.
Yeah, didn't fucking Jon Stewart did that shit and he got like...
Yeah, don't mess with people who, you know, you can totally do stuff like that. All these are ways that you can get involved, and there's all sorts of other creative ways. You can donate money, you can participate.
A great brown man once said, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah, there you go. I think we're going to end it there.
Yeah,
I think
it's on Gandhi.
On a constructive note, on a positive note, it's, again, it's a tragic moment. It's a sad moment. It's a moment that we really need to sit back, think, and really process. Don't be a douchebag during this moment.
Nope.
Right? This is not the time for you to beat your chest. Just let people be
for now, sure.
And we'll work through it as a one whole people. Diz, why don't you take us out?
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, follow us, like our posts, like our page, write us some DMs. You can catch us on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter. Hashtag of the week this week will be #PrayForOrlando. We'll just make it generic. Everyone, pray for Orlando. You can catch us on there. Ask Currently Nerdy is always going around. You can catch us on Instagram, Currently Nerdy on Instagram. Go on there, follow us, like our pictures, write some comments, make V feel that he's special because he is in charge of the Instagram page. We're on Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there and reblog, repost, and do all the things that the Tumblrites do. YouTube, look out for a new video. Should be coming out soon within the next week or two. We should be putting out a video. So pay attention to that.
And go on there. It's going to be this week.
Yeah, so pay attention for that. And make sure to post new things on our fucking comments.
Facebook page?
Yeah, new comments on our YouTube videos and whatnot. And make sure you thumbs in the bums on that one. We could also find this on iTunes. Currently already on iTunes. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. And if your friends don't like iTunes, currentlearning.com, great way to also stream our podcast. And we will be finding a way to get this on the Android platform on Google Play Music. So, you know, if your friends
are
Android listeners, they can start listening to us on Google Play Music. I will find out how to do it, and I'll show you how to do it, Ali. If you want to contact us individually, you can. V, let me know how they can get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my blog at thesandwichslayer.com. Also, if you are in the LA area, July 1st to the 4th, I will be working at Anime Expo at the T-Turtle booth. Hope to see you there. Come and say hi. Ali?
You can find me on my website, alialomi.com. My previous article about homophobia and anti-gay sentiment in the Muslim world has been reposted by Duke University, and it's gotten a signal boost by everyone on Twitter. So it's circulating once more. So check that out. I think it's pretty relevant. And you can catch me on Twitter at AAOLOMI. Diz, how about you?
You could find me everywhere crossing the line at DizBulla, DizBullah. You know what's funny? My mom asked me to change my name after.
Yeah, I heard.
She's like, please don't DizBulla sound like Hizbullah. It's not good.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you.
We really do.